Boys Guide to the Galaxy podcast. The official podcast of GalacticVoyage.com. We talk about Star Wars.
Fanboy style.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Welcome to Fanboy's Guide to the Galaxy, the official podcast of GalacticVoyage.com. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Zasso, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Eric.
Hello there.
All right, we've got no guests this week, and we decided to go back to a news show for the first time in a long time, so it's really nice to cover some news again. So our stories this week are going to be LEGO Star Wars 3, The Clone Wars, a new launch trailer, Robot Chicken Star Wars 3 wins an Annie Award. Okay, and then a new comic series starring Qui-Gon Jinn. And then some more information on the Old Republic. This week we're going to be talking about Flashpoints. And also a great StarWars.com article on the mysteries of the Force. And a smaller story, a $35 lightsaber that's coming soon from Hasbro. Alright, so let's get into the news. For our first topic, we will be discussing the Altar of Mortis, last week's Clone Wars episode. But first, since Eric was not here, he's going to give us his thoughts on Overlords. Take it away.
Wow, these episodes are amazing. I mean, I'm really loving this arc. It takes the Force back to its mythical roots. Not that the Phantom Menace introduction to midichlorians was bad or anything. It's just that it was more scientific than Star Wars fans thought. And this really just changes everything we thought about the Force. And in the new Star Wars Insider, they really hit it in the head. They say that midichlorians aren't the Force. They're just, like, transmitters of the Force. The Force and midichlorians have, like, a symbiotic relationship or something. And it's really interesting, and I like the new view on the Force, and I think Dave Filoni is going in a great direction with it. And some of the highlights of Overlords were the cameos by Qui-Gon Jinn and Shmi Skywalker and future Ahsoka. I mean, except for Ahsoka, it really felt like a Phantom Menace reunion this week. But probably the highlight of it for me was, surprisingly, Shmi's appearance. It was really kind of depressing, but in a good way. It was pretty emotional and really tugged at the heartstrings, kind of. And a lot of people were confused by it, but I liked that confusion. And then this next episode, Altar of Mortis, wasn't quite as confusing, but it really was just as cool as the first episode. This whole arc feels like something out of the Dagobah scene in Empire Strikes Back. Not only was the stories amazing, but the dialogue, music, and visuals are all stunning. The dialogue especially. I'm really loving the work by Sam Witwer as a son. It's just, like, visceral and awesome. But it feels, like, realistic. And, did you catch the blatant visual reference to Lord of the Rings?
No. What? I might have. Right, in Altar of Mortis?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Altar obviously Mortis. The kind of the Mordor Barad-dur in the background, sort of. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool.
I love that. It even says so on StarWars.com, so it wasn't no accident or anything.
Right. Yeah,
but finally, after like weeks of speculation, we learned the truth about Ahsoka's turn, I guess you could call it. But it wasn't so much as her turning to the dark side, it was more like she was bitten by the dark side, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really cool, no matter how short it was. It didn't last long or anything, but it was really cool to see. And again, I got to praise the dialogue. The part where she laughs after saying, "If you don't join him, he will kill me." That line kind of gave me chills when she said that. But despite all the great things about this episode, people are going to be talking about the preview for the next episode, mostly. more than they will be Altar of Mortis, because that preview was amazing.
Right, yeah. But some of my thoughts on Altar of Mortis, it was a very good episode. I probably liked it a lot more than I liked Overlords. And, yeah, voice acting was amazing. And it wasn't, you know, it had that sort of strangeness to it, but it kind of, it felt a little bit more, it felt a little more down to earth on this one. It wasn't quite so, you know, out there. I think that now that we know that, you know, about this planet and we're kind of familiar with it now, I think it's not as weird as we saw it in Overlords. But yeah, I thought it was a great episode, but I think next week's is going to be even better. So
what did you think about the goblin-like creature in Ahsoka's cell that was really, really the sun, not a goblin?
Weird. That's kind of all I have to say. Yeah, I think it was very strange. But it didn't feel out of place.
It was creepy, is what it was. I liked it though.
The whole place was creepy, so it fit right in.
But, so next episode, let's talk about the preview.
Hang on, I have to make one point. I have a question. I want to know what are the repercussions now that the daughter is dead? Is that sort of what allows, you know, Anakin to fall to the dark side in Revenge of the Sith? You know, is that kind of, like I was making a point last week, these beings could reflect, you know, what happens in the galaxy. So
yeah, the fate of the galaxy.
Yeah. So is that kind of foreshadowing that the light will, you know, sort of fall?
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking is going on. So I think that her death kind of allows Anakin to still bring balance to the Force and Return of the Jedi, because something tells me the son isn't going to be alive much longer either. So I think there's father and the son are both going to die too, which is going to mean there is no one controlling the balance of the Force anymore, and it's just completely out of hand. And then finally, in Jedi, I think Vader redeems himself, mm-hmm. and brings balance to the Force by destroying evil and once and for all. And because the Jedi were becoming corrupt as well as the Sith. I guess the Sith are already corrupt anyways, but what I'm getting at is he had to destroy both of them in order to bring balance to the Force.
Interesting.
Because in Overlords, the father said too much light or too much dark could mean the end of the galaxy as we know it. And we saw that in the original trilogy. That was the end of the galaxy as most of the people in the Star Wars universe knew it, because they were used to a republic for thousands of years, but then an empire comes along. So,
That's interesting. I never thought of it that way, but yeah, that's a great perspective on it.
So next week's episode.
Yeah.
So much to talk about that. Just that 30 seconds alone.
All right, but before we talk about it, let's go ahead and play the trailer.
On an all-new episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. Okay, so maybe you know what happens to Anakin after the Clone Wars. And maybe you don't.
What if I could show you the future?
But either way, there's only one place you can find out his true destiny.
He's mine now.
Don't miss the conclusion of a special three-part Star Wars The Clone Wars event. Secrets will be revealed. Friday at 8:30, 7:30 Central.
You were my brother, Anakin!
On Cartoon Network.
And so, Ghosts of Mortis, it's going to be cool.
It's basically Revenge of the Sith, but in Clone Wars.
But yeah, I mean, it's you know, if I believe that the Genndy series came out before Revenge of the Sith, so they couldn't really reveal all the details, you know, right, you know, before the movie came out. So I think now that, you know, Revenge of the Sith is all said and done, I think that they can really, you know, go back and use that for this Clone Wars to make some, you know, awesome foreshadowing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so make sure that you catch Clone Wars this Friday. It's The Ghosts of Mortis, and it's on at 8:30 p.m.
So StarWars.com recently posted Mysteries of the Force, which is an article by Pete Vollmer, which kind of talks about the evolution of the Force from 1975 when it was known as Ashla and Bogan, and it could be channeled through a talisman called the Kyber Crystal. And that was in the 1975 treatment and the early drafts. And then it goes on to 1976 where it kind of quotes Obi-Wan Kenobi, where he says, "Will the Force look of the Jedi his power?" And then 1977 it talks about interviews with George Lucas and basically covers it as a force field or an energy. And then 1975, Yoda dialogue from Empire. 1980, the Force has two sides. Talks about the dark side, light side, I guess, from Time magazine. And then it skips to 99, and it talks about midichlorians and Episode 1 commentary, and that's about it. But it's a pretty interesting article about the Force and all the changes it's already had. So,
and perfect timing too. I mean, just, you know, watching the episodes that we've seen over the past few weeks.
Yep, and I read this earlier today, and apparently midichlorians were created in 1977, not 99. I'll read part of this, a sentence from this interview real quick. This is a 1977 interview from The Making of Star Wars. "The Force is really a way of feeling. It's a way of being with life. It really has nothing to do with weapons. The Force gives you the power to have extrasensory perception and to be able to see things and hear things, read minds, and levitate things. It is said that certain creatures are born with a higher awareness of the Force than humans. Their brains are different. They have more midichlorians in their cells." Right there, midichlorians, 1977. So all you midichlorian haters right there, it was not in Phantom Menace, it was in A New Hope. It was just never explained, so boom.
Okay.
So basically, just go to StarWars.com. It should be right there in the front page if you visit there anytime soon. But it's a very interesting article, and I suggest you read it before or after Ghosts of Mortis, whichever you choose. All right, so I think we should move on.
All right, so our next story is a LEGO Star Wars 3, The Clone Wars launch trailer. So this game's coming out in March, so they released a brand new trailer, and it's looking good. I mean, personally, I like the original LEGO Star Wars games, and then, you know, they had, you know, LEGO Indiana Jones and, you know, the complete saga, and, but I think that, you know, sort of deviating from, you know, the original, you know, LEGO Star Wars, so I think that they're going to kind of go back to what, you know, the original games, and it couldn't be on a better, you know, on a better subject or, you know, franchise or show, other than the Clone Wars. I mean, they have, you know, each level is sort of going to be like an episode of the Clone Wars, so.
It's going to be great. I'm a big fan of the LEGO games. I've been playing LEGO Star Wars since it first came out, and I think that was in 2005, so it's really great to see more LEGO Star Wars coming out, so I'm pretty excited for this. And something I noticed was that I think this game actually starts during the Battle of Geonosis, because I've seen a lot of Geonosis in this trailer, and it was a Geonosis battle arena, so I'm assuming we're going to be starting at the end of Attack of the Clones, so be ready to fight Count Dooku again.
Yeah, so that game's coming out in March, and here's the trailer.
Let's talk about Star Wars Begins.
Yeah.
So you may have heard as such fan documentaries as Building Empire and Returning to Jedi. Well, just recently, the creator of those documentaries has created a new one called Star Wars Begins. And this is a documentary about A New Hope and its creation, behind-the-scenes stuff. And all of his documentaries are superb. They bring us information we never heard before about Star Wars. And people have been talking about it a lot lately, and I believe it's worth mentioning because it is awesome. I've watched it the whole thing this weekend, and you will not be disappointed. There are so many facts there that I'd never even heard of, and I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and I've read all the making of books, and I'd never heard any of these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, you kind of watch, you know, all the behind the scenes stuff, and you know, hear interviews, you know, as the movie's going, and you know, constantly they'll go from, you know, a shot from the movie to a shot while they were making it.
So you can check this out on YouTube. It's Star Wars Begins, and sorry if I butcher his channel name, but it's Jambe Davdar, I think. It's spelled Jambedavdar. And it's a very interesting documentary and definitely worth the 2 hours of your time, and I loved it.
All right, so our last story is The Old Republic Flashpoints. So, Flashpoints, I'll go ahead and read it from StarWarsTor.com, the official Old Republic website. It says, team up for an epic adventure. So, band together with your most trusted allies and undertake some of the most dangerous missions in the galaxy. Flashpoints are action-packed, story-driven adventures that test a group of players to their limits, putting them against difficult foes and in volatile situations. So, I mean, this is basically your team missions. This is going to be, you know, what you and your friends are going to do when you team up for the Old Republic, is you're going to go on these flashpoints. And there's several different flashpoints for each different, you know, faction of the game. So there's ones for Republic and Empire. So they have, I'll go ahead and read some of them off. There's some examples. I'll read the first two. So the first one is called the SLs, and it's an early game, and it's Republic only. So when a Republic transport secretly carrying a high-profile passenger is attacked by the Imperials, your team must defend the ship and eventually must decide the passenger's fate. All right, and another one is the Black Talon. This is only for Empire. So the captain of Imperial transport refuses official orders to intercept the Republic transport. And your team must seize control of the transport and carry out the mission. Will you kill or spare the captain? So, I mean, it's really going to be, you know, action and story. I mean, decision-making stuff. So,
darkness will consume all it touches. Stars will burn black. Everything ends.
The Jedi Prisoner can end this war. Save countless worlds. You're the Jedi Prisoner's only hope of escaping alive.
Our team will free your friend, no matter what it takes.
This isn't the first time I've crashed one of the Empire's parties.
You're standing in a tomb, and I'm burying you in it.
The fortress defenses are crumbling. There's no more time.
Now, this trailer isn't as epic as the Deceived trailer and the trailer we saw earlier this summer. But it's still a pretty cool trailer, so you can check it out on swtor.com. And
make sure you keep checking back on the site. They constantly update, you know, more information about the game. You know, we only went over a few of the, you know, the flashpoints. Make sure you go check out the others, see if this game, you know, really interests you.
You know what? This game comes out really soon, actually. I remember it seems like yesterday we were like, oh, this game is coming out like in a year, but it's really 3 months from now, it seems like.
Did they already have a release date for it?
They said spring, but I'm assuming May. Okay. Either May or June, but still, it comes out really soon. It's really on the horizon right now.
All right, moving on to our next story. Just announced from MTV.com, there's going to be a new comic series starring Qui-Gon Jinn. And I think that this is going to be a mini-series from the looks of it. Yeah, it's a mini-series. And here's the plot summary. 21 years before the events of Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, Jedi Master Qui-Gon Jinn is dispatched to prevent the outbreak of a civil war on the home planet of his Padawan, Xanatos, whose father is king. It is a mission that will lead Qui-Gon into close contact with the dark side and start him on a quest that will have major impact on the future of the Jedi Order. So it sounds pretty good. And, you know, any series with anything with Qui-Gon Jinn in it is going to be good. It's kind of, I think that this is his first, you know, full series, you know, coming into comics. So
yeah, I'm really excited. I'm a big Qui-Gon fan, and it's great to see him in the comic book universe. And he's wearing a very interesting outfit, and it's not his traditional Jedi outfit that he has in Episode 1, but it's very cool. And his apprentice looks a lot like Obi-Wan, so.
Right, and I think we saw this apprentice in those junior novelizations of Jedi Apprentice. Yeah, Jedi Apprentice.
Yeah.
So that's going to be on sale on May 18th. It's the first issue is going to be 40 pages, and it's going to cost $2.99. So.
And there's going to be 5 issues of this. It's a miniseries, as Ryan said. But there's going to be 5 issues, so not too much, but it's going to be a great miniseries, and I'm looking forward to reading it this May. Yeah. It'll be something to read during summer to hold us off for Clone Wars Season 4, so I'm excited. And it is written by Scott Alley.
All right, well, yeah, you can check out that full article at MTV.com, so...
And the title's a little bit strange to me. It's called The Dark Side, yet we're not going to see any Sith in it at all because they don't even know the Sith are around still right now. So it's an interesting title choice, but I'm sure they have a reason for it. So
yeah, it's interesting, but it does say in the summary that it's a mission that will lead Qui-Gon into close contact with the dark side. So... maybe it's maybe it is. If you look at the cover art here, and there's some big statues behind them, and it could be a Sith temple of some kind.
Mm-hmm. It makes me wonder why he's dueling his apprentice. It could be a Jedi temple. They could be practicing their dueling. I'm not sure.
True, yeah. Yeah, it's... we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. May 18th.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So last December, we saw Robot Chicken Star Wars 3. And it was hilarious. Probably the best out of all three of them. It was an hour long, and it was more of a cohesive story than the other ones were. And it was... the Empire's take on the saga rather than the Jedi and Rebel take on the movies. So it was great to see that, and it was really hilarious. And a few months ago, we covered the nominations for the Annie Awards, and Robot Chicken, Star Wars 3, and The Clone Wars were among them. But Star Wars Episode 3, Robot Chicken won for Best Writing in a Television Series at the Annie Awards. Unfortunately, Clone Wars did not win anything. Damn. But at least something Star Wars won.
Yeah, yeah, that's the important thing. And you know, Best Writing. I mean, that's a pretty good award for a show. You know, like for Robot Chicken, which is a comedy show.
Yeah, but for me, Robot Chicken is the best Star Wars parody. A lot of people say Spaceballs, but I don't know. I like Spaceballs, but it's not. I don't know. I like this better, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So our next story is the Volkswagen commercial, The Force. So I'm sure almost all of our listeners watched the Super Bowl this Sunday, because it really is something we do as Americans, unless you're not from our country, but Super Bowl is big here, I guess. And they played a really awesome commercial called... They played a really awesome commercial for Volkswagen, and it featured a 6-year-old Darth Vader, and basically he's trying to use the Force, but to no avail, and finally his father comes home with a new car, a Volkswagen Passat, and he tries to use the Force to start the car, and the dad is like standing in the kitchen, and he turns it on with the keys, and the kid thinks he turned it on with the Force, so... It's a pretty funny commercial, and Super Bowl is notorious for their commercials.
Right. Yeah, I mean, even if you didn't watch the Super Bowl, this commercial has been everywhere. I mean, they showed it on, you know, like the Today Show. It's been all over YouTube. It's been on StarWars.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been pretty much everywhere. So.
And I think the Today Show interviewed the kid who was beneath the helmet, and he looks a lot like a young Mark Hamill.
Yeah, I thought that too. All right, well, that was your show for this week. We hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for downloading and listening. You can email us at galaxyfanboy@yahoo.com. Send us your feedback. We'd love to hear it. You can also find us on iTunes. Just search us up there, and feel free to leave a review. They help us grow as a show. You can also find us on facebook.com/galaxyfanboy, twitter.com@galaxyfanboy, and our home site, galacticvoyage.com. So, thank you. Okay, so I think that's it.
I'll stop recording.
All right.